Friedman was a great teacher, and I think that's what many of his former students at the University of Chicago would say, is that as much as he was a great public intellectual, a great scholar, he was also a great teacher.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Lanny Ebenstein. He's the editor most recently of The Indispensable Milton Friedman, Essays on Politics and Economics. Thank you, Dr. Ebenstein. Tell us, what did you find indispensable about Milton Friedman? And I mean, this is actually a pretty thin book for a guy who wrote thousands of pages. How did you decide what made the cut?
These were essays that I had felt were neglected over the years, and that together, both more popular essays and then also essays more specifically in economics, that it would give an acquaintance with Friedman that would be advantageous.
Well, let's talk about a couple of them. What was it that turned Friedman onto liberalism, classical liberal, libertarianism?
Good question. I asked him that, and I think it was John Stuart Mill as much as anything else. He considered Mill to be, On Liberty, to be his introduction to libertarian thought. I think that he was really led through his analysis of economics, positive economics, as he termed it, technical economics, to embrace a classical liberal position of limited government and less government.
Talk a little bit about the quality of his work as a public intellectual. I mean, he was very generous to his collaborators. He was very generous to the people he disagreed with. He has tons of good things to say about John Maynard Keynes. I mean, where
John Kenneth Galbraith.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Friedman thought that the best way to persuade people was attempt to reason on the facts.
A society that aims for equality before liberty will end up with neither equality nor liberty. You can only aim at equality by giving some people the right to take things from others. And what ultimately happens when you aim at equality is that A and B decide what C shall do for D. Except that they take a little bit of a commission off on the way.
This was his whole distinction between positive and normative economics, that there's a difference between the way the economy works and the way that we'd like to have the outcomes in the economy be. So we should at least try to come to agreement on the way the economy works. So if that's the approach you take, then I think that will lead you to try to ascribe to your adversaries the best of intentions, the most wisdom, the most intelligence. If you want them to be willing to persuade you, then you have to be willing to be persuaded by them.
Would he be happy with monetary policy in the United States?
That's a really good question. I believe that Friedman would have said that in the case of the Great Recession, as in the case of the Great Depression, that in an extraordinary circumstance, extraordinary policy can be required, and he would have favored a more stimulative policy by the Fed.
So to have the Fed pump even more money into the economy.
Whether he would be in favor of the Fed pumping more money into the economy at this point in time, or whether he would say the Fed's already gone far enough is another question. I would think that on standard monetary analysis, we are going to face inflation at some point in time. But according to standard theory, it also should have arrived by this point.
Right. So, well, does that point to the idea that maybe Friedman's insights are no longer, you know, really applicable now?
Well, I think that the ideas remain applicable, and it's the circumstances which are different. And the question is what is the effect of monetary policy and fiscal policy in our current times?
What would Friedman say? Should he say the baby boomers shouldn't retire? Or what? You know, how would he deal with this coming deluge of retiring?
Well, two or three things. I think that he would favor increases in retirement ages. I think he would favor decreases in Social Security benefits. I think he would particularly say that Social Security benefits that are being received, I think he would favor means testing of Social Security. I think that he would favor privatization of Social Security. So in all of those areas, those are long-run solutions. We've got a lot of people who are retiring right now, so that's a...
Talk a little bit about, you know, how did you first encounter Milton Friedman in words and in life?
I first interviewed him for my biography of Friedrich Hayek, and he was in California, as I was, and I wrote him a letter, and I said, could I come up and interview you? And he got right back to me, happy to do so, come on up.
And that was when?
1995 or 1996. And I remember very well the first time I interviewed him, the first thing I asked him, I said, now, do you mind if I tape our conversation? And he said, I have a single rule. What I say to one person, I say to everyone. Mm. I never say anything off the record. Friedman was a great teacher, and I think that's what many of his former students at the University of Chicago would say, is that as much as he was a great public intellectual, a great scholar, he was also a great teacher.
Well, and that's one of the many reasons he's indispensable, even years after he has passed on. Lanny Ebenstein, editor of the indispensable Milton Friedman, thanks for talking to Reason TV.
Great, thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie. Thank you.